Well, good morning. Oh, we're waving now, are we? We're starting the wave of the church service. Welcome to Christian Baptist Church this morning. I'm going to keep my message down to like an hour and a half, just because it's a very warm day. Announcements from the bulletin. There's the Joy Group is actually meeting this Tuesday. Just older youth. So it's Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the New Roots Garden Centre, which is next to the Pickle Barrel. So it's a different date and a different time, actually, 3 o'clock. So who do we speak to here? Shirley with you, or? Sure, I speak to Shirley. She knows all about it.
You have to be there,
right? Voices of Joy Community Choir is having a concert on June the 10th at the Bethel Community Christian Reformed Church on Davis Drive. And our church picnic is on June the 24th at 10 o'clock. It'll be a joint service with the Chinese congregation, Mandarin congregation, of Pastor Dong. And whether we're cooperating, we'll have it outside, which is always a good thing. If we can worship outside in the open air. But also that's the day I've invited Mona to come and say farewells as our secretary. She's retiring the last day, JT1, which is probably well deserved. But we also want to take up a financial collection just to gift her on her way. So if you could see George about that, if you want to make a contribution, that would be the way to do it. Now I'm going to ask
The picnic's at 10.
Yes, the picnic's at 10 o'clock. The service will be at 10 o'clock. The picnic to follow immediately afterwards. Thank you. Thank you. And then, I'm going to ask Stephen now to come forward because we've got a business meeting this morning.
Hi, we don't normally do business in the Sunday service unless it's super fast. And that's what this is meant to be. We're hoping to pass a motion today to accept Lindsay Parekh into membership. You heard last week her testimony, which included information about her baptism. So she's been baptized previously. She also delivered a great testimony last week. And it's based on that testimony that we're accepting her into membership. Our constitution gives four ways of being accepted into membership, and you can't do a letter transfer from the church as a member of before, so we do it by statement of faith. Enough administration. So this is good news. We're just trying to do it now so that next week at the communion service we can welcome her, extend her prayer tender fellowship and the certificate and so on. So communion is a good time to do that. So if I can get a motion from the floor to accept Lindsay's membership, that's George. Moved by George.
I'd like to make the motion to accept Lindsay into our membership. We're a butcher and I interviewed her several weeks ago, and just to let her know what she had to say concerning her Christian faith in June, and we're glad that she's decided to be with us.
Awesome. So a seconder? Thank you. All in favor, raise your right hand. Thank you. Any opposed? Left hands work too, Chris. I saw you switching.
Vote doesn't count.
In a convention Baptist church, we're allowed ambidextrous voting. Association a few years ago. Okay, thank you very much. That's passed.
Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." So we come to worship faithfully. We are here again this morning. We come faithfully, but maybe there's a part of all of us that has some doubts, that wonders, is God really here? Are you really here? And are you listening? we live in a world where we can't live without God. And this morning, it is our prayer that God will give us an assurance of what we cannot always see, a conviction of hope in his presence with each and every one of us, and his power. We want to be faith-filled, confident, and abiding in his unfailing love for us. And so this morning, as we begin our time of worship, we are going to sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. And let it be our prayer this morning that God would open each of our eyes and our hearts and our minds to his unfailing love and the message that he has for each of us today. Let's pray. This morning, Lord, we want everything to be for your glory. We want our thoughts, our words, our songs, our church and our community, and our resources, our time, our lives. We want it all to be for you. Everything ours is yours. And we come together on this holy day set apart to worship you. Bless our time together with your holy presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 30 and 31 says, "And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" I think we're supposed to say amen now. Amen. We're Baptists. We don't do that whole like crazy amen thing.
We're Baptists. We don't do it. We're going to ask our ushers now to come forward and take up our tithes and offerings this morning. Lord, indeed, we worship your holy name. We gather each week to worship you for all of your blessings that you pour out upon us. Lord, now we ask you to receive from us a return of your blessings, our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we pray that you will multiply them and show us how to use them wisely and prudently for your kingdom work here and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, do we have any children that want to come forward for the children's talk?
Since there's so many of you, you've got a choice. Story one, which I've been saving for 4 weeks, or story two, which had just happened. Which one? One or two?
One.
Really? One? Okay. Maybe I can fit them both in. Anyways, you ever had a plan? You ever planned something? You got a party, you got something going on. No? Deborah, you must have planned something in your life. Huh? Well, my true love and I, Donna, we had a plan. We planned for a year this trip we were going to go on. We had everything down to detail. Everything. Nothing to left to have chance. Well, guess what? We were supposed to go on a cruise. We were supposed to go on a trip. Got in the airport at 6:30. We were there at 3:00 in the morning at the airport, so we were prepared. We were ready to go. Well, we got in the plane, flew to Philadelphia. They threw a bit of a thing at us. We had to take a train to another terminal. I don't deal well with change, but it's okay. So we get in the plane. I kind of dozed off because we were up at 2 in the morning. I woke up. We're still sitting on the runway. So then they said, a light went off. Maybe it's a light went off. Oh well, you can still fly a plane. Well, we took this back. They had to fix it. Took us back out, they had to fix it again. Took it out. So meanwhile, we were supposed to be on a boat at 5:00. Guess what? It was probably 2:30. We were still in Philadelphia. So Donna in her wisdom says, let's pray. I go, I don't know if God really cares about my trip to on a boat. Is there more important things in the world than my trip? But I said, okay, we pray. Because I wasn't very calm at the time. So we pray. Well, you know what? You know what? God had a different plan. And as much as we plan our lives ahead, and this is probably for everybody, as much as we plan our lives ahead, God had a different plan for us. And you know what? It was even better than my plan. We got flown to some beautiful island, stayed by the ocean for 4 days. We were going to be on a boat for 5 days, going with the wind blowing, and you know, I had my gravel just in case. But so just you know, and then we had a wonderful vacation. Anyway, that's not fun. But you know what? So we can think we have a plan for life, right? We think we plan everything out. But you know what? Sometimes God just steps in and says, "This isn't going to happen," and He has a plan for us. So remember that next time. If you're planning something, remember. Always pray for guidance. Always pray for that help when you're doing something, because He may have a better idea for us, okay? Or something that we don't know we want to do that He wants us to do, okay? So let's pray before we go downstairs. Dear Jesus, as we go downstairs, help us to go down and learn more about You and learn more about Your plan for our lives. Name us. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Something in scripture about man makes his plans, but God orders his steps. I always look at, I guess, you get experience over life, and you look at, you've got something set in your mind, and it changes. And, you know, as a younger man, I get very frustrated, very angry. Plans were interrupted. And now I've come to the serenity, if you like, of saying, okay, it's changed. What's God got for me in this change? What's God moved me to think and do something different? Because my plans are not happening right now. And God does care about your cruise. He cares more about you than He cares about the cruise. So that's why He blessed you with that additional experience. Let's pray. Yeah, Father God, never let us forget that You order our days. You have all of our lives in Your hands. You care about each one of us intimately. You love each one of us more than we could possibly imagine. And You have even this day for each one of us in Your hands. Lord, let us learn to trust You through all of the big things and little things in life. For You care about each one of us, our homes, our families, our marriages, our children, our finances. You care about it all. Lord, we're at a time in the life of Canada and Ontario where we're facing another election. It's part of the freedoms we have to choose our leaders and choose one over another. And Lord, so we pray. We want God leading us. Lord, we desire to have men and women of faith who will make prudent, wise decisions for our province. And Lord, we have the blessing that millions, if not billions, of people on this planet do not have. We have the ability to vote. Lord, I pray that each one of us will take that opportunity and that blessing and use it wisely. Lord, I pray that we will order a little bit of research into the candidates we have the options for voting for. And we'll pray about our vote. Lord, our country, our culture, our society is not going in a godly direction. It seems we want to be more and more ungodly each year. Lord, we pray for a halt to that. That our society will turn around. And understand Your wisdom above man's wisdom. before the summertime approaches. It's here upon us. We pray for safety, particularly for our little children. They're excited about being outside, being on their bikes. And our little children need to be carefree. Sometimes their carefreeness can be careless. So Lord, just pray for our families and our children, for safety on the roads, safety in the parks. As the children get excited about the end of the school year coming up, and teachers to Lord, just pray that the school year will end well for all of our students. Christian Baptist Church. Lord, you have had your hand on this congregation for many, many generations, nearly 200 years now. And we're sensing a turning point, or a change point. And we need your wisdom. We need your blessing. We need your guidance. We need your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us, and for each one of us to hear and act accordingly. Does anyone have a prayer they'd like to share? Yes?
I pray for our friend Tony, who said he also called now. Actually, on the medical side, what was this?
Does your friend have a name over there?
Tony.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, let's pray for Tony. Don't let that spread. Lord, we pray for Tony. He's in the hospital. You know him. You know what's going on in his body, in his mind, in his heart. Lord, we pray you'll reach out to your hands and touch him with healing, with restoration. Lord, we boldly pray for a miracle of healing. Lord, bless his family, his friends that care for him. Give him comfort in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Michelle.
Celine and Karim. Celine.
Celine?
And Karim.
Karim. And what's the situation?
We have a home diagnosis.
Okay. Lord, we pray for Michelle's friends, Karim and Shalim. Lord, again, you know what's wrong. You know their health condition. You know them, you know where they are with you. Lord, we pray for their salvation, and we pray for the healing of their bodies. We pray for your comfort to be in their hearts, that they can trust in you in this part of their journey. We pray for Michelle, and we thank you for bringing that forward, and we ask you to give her comfort and strength as she ministers to her friends. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is it my mom?
Have you, mom? Okay. Lord, again, we pray for Lisa's mother. Lord, we ask you to bless her with comfort and peace. Lord, we pray for healing. We ask you to do a miraculous thing in Lisa's mother's body. Lord, we know you care. Lord, we know the stories of Jesus who healed people from afar, just by one word. Go yourself to see. Lord, let us experience that in our church family, that your servant will be healed. And we pray for Lisa too, as she cares for her mother. Give her comfort and joy, and let her trust in you for the outcome. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's take just a few moments of quiet time with the Lord ourselves. Each one of you have come today with something on your heart, something on your mind, maybe a night of praise. But meet with the Lord now in a few moments of quietness. And meet with him and speak with him, for he's here by his Spirit and wants to meet with you. Lord, we know that you are always awake. You do not sleep, you do not slumber. And you are always ready to hear the prayers of your people. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit guiding each one of us. Lord, you know what's going on in everybody's heart and mind today. Lord, bring that peace that passes all understanding. Guide our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Lisa, our treasurer, to come forward now. She has a presentation update on our financial situation.
I'm trying to get better news for you today. I don't. So Christian Baptist Church is, I'm pretty much just going to read what's in here. I'm not very good at the mic. So Christian Baptist Church is currently operating at a $5,868 deficit as at April 30th. The average contributions have dropped a little bit by 4% since year end. And the increased monthly shortfall has depleted the bank account just a little bit sooner than anticipated. The cash flow crisis has kind of hit its critical mass, so something really needs to be done now about increasing our revenue streams or decreasing our costs. You can see there's a breakdown of January, February, March, revenues, expenses. The top part is the cumulative, and the bottom part is just that month. So contributions for the quarter, or I guess the quarter plus April, totaled $40,692 to the organization as a whole, and are broken down in that chart there, you can see. February and March contributions were pretty far below the average, the 8-year average for those months, they typically drop then anyway, so that makes sense. They just dropped a little bit, they just took a bigger dip than usual. The expenses, there's a breakdown there as well. There was lots of salting needed this year, so that kind of inflated the that inflated the cost for the salting for the driveway and walkways. Also, I know that there was a check that, or there was a invoice for November and December that didn't get paid until January. So, wages continue to be the highest cost of CBC, which is very typical of really any organization at all. Keith did generously opt for a $12,000 pay cut before the 2017 year end. And in lieu of that pay cut, he will receive 2 extra study weeks, 4 extra vacation weeks off. The church was able to also send 2 students to the CBOQ annual Avalanche retreat. And also there was a fellowship event at the ACC as part of the ministry and other expenses amount that you see there. So the cash balance. So the balances below that are in this little breakdown here, they are under review. Essentially, without getting insanely technical, the program that we use, when it updated, for some reason it like clicked on this automatic thing that automatically updated the accounting module as well as the contribution module at the same time. So long story short, there were double postings and the bookkeeper and I found most of the errors and then fixed them all. So this number is a little off. I wasn't able to get the true numbers there, but that total cash fund, that balance there is right. So after all the corrections are made, the TD general account will still be overdrawn by $552. So realistically, CBC can no longer sustain any of the deficits that we've been facing for the past 8 years or so. So we need to really take action to not run a deficit anymore. We need to balance the budget. The PAR program is up and running, and I encourage you guys to utilize that if you can as a method of giving. It will provide CBC with more predictable income. It will take, you know, the funds out of your account on the 20th of every month, and then so you don't have to worry about if you go on vacation in the summer that it won't get missed. There's pamphlets at the back for that, and downstairs as well on the table. Yeah, that's about it. Our God is faithful, and if we put our trust in Him, then I'm sure He will answer our prayers and be faithful to us too. And if you have any questions at all, don't hesitate to ask me. You can call me, you can email me. That's my personal email and number there. You can just contact me anytime you want.
Stood before his congregation. He says, I have bad news, good news, and bad news. Bad news is the church needs $100,000 for repairs. The good news is we have the money. The bad news is it's still in your wallets. Scripture talks about, we didn't do the other thing, did we?
No.
When we were to kind of talk about today's message from Lisa and from the scripture, the suggestion was made that we should sing the Abba song, Money, Money, Money. Dress appropriately. Scripture talks about money over and over again. And how we handle money tells us a lot about how we view God and our attitude towards God. It's a quote from a leadership magazine from a little while back, and it says, this is from a man called Howard Dean. Jesus talked much about money, he writes. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels, an amazing 1 out of 10 verses deal directly with the subject of money. 1 in 10. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. So clearly, it's important to God how we handle and our attitude towards money. When the subject of money comes up, the word tithe is always brought into the conversation. So I want to go through what the Old Testament tithing system was about and why it came about. The Malachi 3 text, I the Lord do not change. That's an important way to introduce this subject. I the Lord do not change. So you, descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept to them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then a very interesting statement is made. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Interesting. Test me in this. A Come on. Come on. Test me. Test me. God makes it clear that the first tithe belongs to him. The people were not making a donation. They were giving God what was his. This first tithe was for the priests, for the Levites. The Levites were not given any land in Israel. When they went into the promised land, the Levite tribe were the priests. They handled the religious leadership of this nation under God. So they didn't have any means for their own income. So everybody else had to provide for the priesthood, for the Levites. It was a theocracy. God was king. God was God. And he divinely operated through his priests, the Levites, and they needed to eat too. And so he introduces the tithe. The tithe was given to the priests to support them because of their religious responsibilities. They were full-time in that ministry. And they ruled in the place of God on earth. It's a form of taxation for that. Simple tax. There's a second tithe, and it's in Deuteronomy 12. And God says this, "But you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and he will give you rest from your enemies around you, so that you will live in safety. Then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. And there rejoice before the Lord your God, you, your sons, your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, and the Levites or your towns who have no allotment or inheritance of their own." The second tithe was for the religious festivals, to pay for being that nation under God. And they had lots of religious festivals that needed to be funded. So God instituted this second tithe for the times of national celebration. It's interesting, just in light of recent news, it's like a sidebar. Then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. What is that place? What is that place? In 2 Kings 21, we read, "He, Manasseh, built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, 'In Jerusalem I will put my name.'" Just in light of all the recent news going on about Israel and the capital of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It always has been. We go back thousands of years. So whatever we're hearing on the news, Israel is a country, Jerusalem is its capital because the Lord put his name on it. So there's a third tithe. The first tithe is for the religious operating of the country because it was a religious nation. The second one was for the celebration of all their festivals together. And the third tithe, listen to this in Deuteronomy 14. "At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your tents, so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own repeat that every time. And the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." The third tithe was for the poor, for those who had no income. And that was like every 3 years you bring another tenth. So if you do the math on this, it's 10% for the Levites, 10% for the festivals, and 10% every 3 years for the poor. That's just over 23%. The people were required to give to support the theocracy that God had instituted. And everyone was required to give. It wasn't like an optional thing. For the support of the kingdom he had set up as Israel, the people were required to tithe in this way to support God's kingdom work. Even a nation under God still needs to be financially supported. They were required to support the kingdom, the nation that God had set up. And we too, in principle, have the same responsibility. God has set up the church. Global initiative, spreading to all corners of the earth. And we have a mandate to support it. Does this tithing thing change when we reach the New Testament? What did Jesus have to say about it? In Matthew 23, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." So Jesus gives a nod there to that standardized support of the kingdom, support of the work of the religion of the temple. He confirms the tithe as a legitimate means of supporting the temple. And as we move further into the New Testament, the tithe is never repealed. It's a command from God. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul writes, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, they were under persecution. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own." There's no obligation. They willingly wanted to support Paul in his missions. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So this Macedonian church being persecuted under severe trial but had overflowing joy for being part of God's kingdom. They had extreme poverty, but they gave generously. They'd given themselves to the Lord first, so generous giving to Paul's mission became of paramount importance to them. They wanted to be part of the kingdom work. They wanted to be part of the spread of the gospel. And so they sacrificed to make sure it could continue. People who are committed to God's kingdom work and committed to his kingdom and are receiving the blessings of being part of the kingdom should not have a problem supporting it. We should not have a problem supporting it. The question for us, of course, is what's the first priority in our lives? And we are influenced by the culture that we live in. We want to live the good life. We want the best for self. Most of the time. But should we not have a life commitment to serving God in this earthly ministry? Luke 16 tells us, "No one can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Familiar text again. And the Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. So what are we to give? Has the system changed? Is it a tithe? Is it 10% or anything? I'd say yes and no. The system's changed, yes, but no, it's not changed in principle. Let's look at it from another perspective. And ask the question, whose money is it anyway? I'm going to read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 texts from Scripture, and you answer that question, whose money is it anyway? Exodus 19:5. "Now if you obey me fully and keep my command, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession, although the whole earth is mine. You will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." Deuteronomy 10:14. "To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it." Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Acts 17:24, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. 1 Corinthians 10:26, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Have we found our answer yet? Whose money is it? Do you want me to read the five verses again? It's all the Lord's. Anybody here breathing? That last lung full of air you breathed in, that air belonged to the Lord. You're going to go out and eat some food today, hopefully. Who gave you the food? The Lord. When we say our blessing and we thank the Lord for the sheer abundance and choices that we have, you never have to eat the same meal twice. Because the Lord has provided the abundance, and it's all His. Your next heartbeat belongs to the Lord. The house you live in belongs to the Lord. The clothes you're wearing belongs to the Lord. The car you drive belongs to the Lord. And I wish you could bear it. Right? It's all the Lord's. We have to have that perspective that all we are and all we have comes from the Lord. That will begin to free us up a little and put more trust in God and less trust in hanging on to our money. We're stewards of all we possess. Remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25? When the master gave out the 10, 5, 1 talent, the ones that used it wisely and prudently for the master were rewarded and given more. The one that hoarded had it taken away. There's something in that about how we should hold on to everything that God has given us. We should hold everything with open hands, not like this, but like this. Say, Lord, what do you need? What do you want me to do with it? Bearing in mind that it's all the Lord's. In that Matthew 25 passage, the master says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. It's like a test. It's a test from Malachi. Test me in this. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. That's how God wants us to live. Freely and openly. Looking for opportunities to serve him with the material wealth that we have. Our incomes are a gift from the Lord. Everything we own is a gift from the Lord. And we're living in his kingdom. God has one mission and one purpose, and that's the redemption of his creation. The whole story of the Bible, from beginning to end, is all about God and his mission to earth. The whole story of Jesus is God himself coming down and saying, I'm going to sacrifice myself for the remission of sins, and I want you to reach the entire globe with this message of God's love. And that needs funding. That needs funding. It's an invitation. It's no longer a command. It's an invitation. All of you who belong to the Lord, he invites you to put your faith in action by sharing your material wealth to forward his purpose in his mission to redeem the world. Paul writes later on to the Corinthians chapter 9, remember this, he whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God what? Come on, some of you can finish that verse.
Loves the cheerful giver.
Loves the cheerful giver. It should be with great joy that people give to the kingdom. back in Oxfordshire. They do a mission to Ghana every couple of years, and that mission has grown very, very big over the last 2000, they went, so 18 years. First year it was just a few people going, and this year and next year I think they're building a $10 million hospital there. That's how big that mission has grown in Ghana. The people in Ghana, when they take up the collection and the worship services, the worship services are all outside in the blazing heat. He said they dance, they play dance music, and the people dance to the front of the church to give their offering. Because it's an act of sheer joy to give to God's kingdom work. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow generously, you reap generously. For God loves a cheerful giver. God has called us to join Him in this most epic story in human history, the redemption of the world. For it is God's purpose that none should perish, that all may be saved. He calls us to witness to the truth that's found in Christ alone. He calls us to meet the needs of each other and the needs of the community, and to be part of this global enterprise called the Church, reaching into every corner of the world. And that takes funding. It simply takes funding. And, you know, to be honest, we're not really supporting much in the way of global missions, are we, as a congregation? And we should be. But we can only afford to keep ourselves going. There's not enough left over to actually say, hey, you know, with this addition to the budget this year, we can actually send money to the Groves in Bangalore, Cameroon. We can send them the airfare to come over on furlough. We can actually reach out beyond our own congregation. So here's the call. What are you going to do to make Christian Baptists a significant major participant in God's mission? What can we do to be more effective? He's called us, He's blessed us, and now we have to respond. In our service today we sang, "Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord." So Lord, open the eyes of our hearts. To look deep inside our hearts and ask each one of us, asking ourselves, what can I be doing, what should I be doing for your kingdom work? And as we reach out boldly, we remind ourselves of this song, the other song, "If God is with us, who can stand against us?" We sang 10,000 reasons for worshiping God. Let's worship Him by supporting His mission. Set in your heart what you want to give. Set a high target and work towards it. God will bless you when you give consistently and generously. I think it's fair to say, Lisa can support this or not, that it's the consistent giving. So we don't have these huge ups and downs. If you're away for a couple of weeks, make sure you commit to putting the check or the money in the envelope or bring it the next time you come. We want a flat line that's, from your perspective, is doing this over the next little while, quite short while. But what's happening is this, and it's very hard to plan. Very hard to plan. Set your hearts on what you're going to give. Pray to the Lord. Say, "Lord, this is our income, this is our situation. What should I be giving?" And then say, "Lord, I'd like to give more. Show me how to order my finances so I can give more." He will show you. And as you commit to Him, you'll begin to see the blessings of Malachi poured out on you. Let's pray. Let's pray. heavens and earth are all yours. We acknowledge that you are our creator. Our next heartbeat is dependent on you. That next lungful air is a gift from you. Our whole life, our whole being is a gift from you. Lord, teach us, teach me the right use of our wealth and our possessions. Show each one of us, Lord, what we must be doing in the weeks to come to turn our situation around so that we can be a greater participant in your mission to the world. Lord, hear our prayer, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've heard the message from God's Word today of how He wants us to act out of the heart to generously support His mission to the world. It's up to us now to respond. Go in peace and know that God loves you and He wants to pour out showers and showers of blessing upon you. Go in peace. Amen. If you're visiting with us today, please come on downstairs for a coffee and a meet and greet. Oh, it's a bird up there. God bless the bird too.